Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Episode 218 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, and this one went a bunch of different places. We talked, joked around in the beginning, talked about sleep, talked about recovery, our time at Iowa, training, working out, and now how that relates to what we're doing now. And then if you really want to get to the juicy stuff, go to about 37 minutes. We talk about the Jordan Bohannon bar fight situation. Let's have a day. Go. Welcome in to episode 218 of the podcast, potentially episode one of Wash Up Walk-Ons OnlyFans edition, as Kevin and I just decided, hey, how much could we make? How about the alternative, Drake? You know, like, what if we just, Kevin quits his job at Stryker. I just leave behind, you know, the fitness and, I mean, Drake, you have plenty of time for it. You could just stop jiu-jitsu and we just post exclusive content, man. $10 a month. Who wants to buy it? I mean, we already do. It's basically a Patreon. We already run a clean OnlyFans, right? It's only Hawks. Walk on Army OnlyFans.
I know, like, you see on Twitter, like, all these stories about chicks making a ton of money. Is there any dudes out there making a ton of money on OnlyFans?
I would have to imagine. I mean, people don't only like women, you know? It's like, true. What are the odds that you could start selling feet pics, Kev?
I would sell feet pics. I would sell the shit out of some feet pics.
We've got some listeners right now who are sitting there like,
Okay, but seriously, though, like, say some dude offers you a ton of money for some feet pics. Like, is it weird? Yeah. Is it creeping you out? Yeah. But it's like, it's your feet. Who cares?
What's the number?
Dude, I'd probably sell feet pics for like $20.
Drake's like shifting from his phone to computer or setting up right now, but I'm sure he's just filth, just completely filth. $20.
What's there to be filth about, dude? It's pics of your feet.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But it's the reputation. You know?
Who cares, dude?
Now you're a guy.
I'll Venmo you $5 right now to send me a picture of your feet.
Really?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yes, you gotta send a picture of me first. Within this podcast.
I'm not doing that. But for 20, you got it.
All right, there we go. So 20 is the number.
I'm kidding. Wow, what a way to intro this podcast. Who listens to this shit? I don't know. I mean, I was going to start off with something really wholesome, and then we got to Hawkeye OnlyFans, and that's where we're at. Speaking of, if you aren't signed up for the Patreon, and don't feel obligated to, but I'm going to throw in a deal sweetener, as they like to say. You know, like when you go to the restaurant and they got those little pink and white packets of fake sugar. I'm going to throw some of that on the table, right?
Every week, Kluwer's jokes get worse.
Wow. All right.
I think they call it Splenda, Kluwer. They call it Splenda.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now, as many people know, most of the world at this point probably knows that there's a challenge happening. Starts next Monday. And for anybody that signs up for the Patreon from now until that time, until Monday, on any tier, and buys the year in advance, which already saves you 2 months of Washed Up Walk-On's exclusive content, including preview access to both the video and the audio and a bunch of other stuff, you can get entry into the Tyler Kluwer 30-day challenge for free. That's all I'm saying. Hit me up if you want more details. Now, I was going to start with something wholesome, as I said, and the wholesomeness was going to be the fact that right before I got on here, I read that some companies are paying influencers to denounce certain vaccines and pump the other vaccines so that certain companies would get more people to take their vaccine. So how about the world, huh?
Can we be that surprised? We pumped out a vaccine that wasn't ready, and they had to remove some from the market. And people just decided they were going to sign up to be guinea pigs for, I don't know, something that we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they are very much effective and they work very well. And
what about the one that got removed from the market after people had already taken it because they were having such horrible side effects?
They pulled one off the market for a week because 8 people out of 2 million had a stroke.
Okay. All I know is that it happened.
The vaccines are perfectly safe. Go get a vaccine so we can get back to normal.
I love this. We have both sides here and I'm equally split. I want to play devil's avocado here. I do think that there is probably more side effects to the vaccines that have been reported. I think you'd probably be dumb to think that that's not the case. I also think that the vaccines are effective in probably in stopping the COVID, the whole COVID-19 ordeal. So, all right, should we move on to other large issues? Immigration, abortion, what should be next? all right, real shit. Nebraska and Northwestern are going to open up in Dublin, Ireland in 2022. Would you or would you not enjoy if in 2016 they would have told us, hey, you're going to play Wisconsin in Australia?
Oof. I would have been absolutely disgusted.
Australia's on the other side of the world, fam. It's going to fuck up your that's going to fuck up your sleep schedule.
Well, how long does it take to get to Ireland?
Ireland's like a 4-hour flight from New York. It's not terrible.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Sheesh.
Four or 5 hours, I think.
I did not know that.
That's from New York. So, that's 2 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours from Iowa, probably.
Okay. Well, that's not as crazy as Australia, obviously. I didn't know
that. If I had to get a passport to go play football, I would have been disgusted.
Yeah. That's.
I think it's cool. It'd be cool, but
I think it'll be cool if there's a bunch of fans there.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like we got a bunch of fans in our home stadium.
This is true. Northwestern gives up a home game to go do it.
It's a cool thing to say you did, I think, but especially if you're playing again the next week.
Yeah,
I think I would not want to do that.
Yeah, Drake would be adamantly against it. Clearly,
adamantly.
Yeah, it definitely ruins. KF would not want any piece of that. Routine on a, even when you're playing the game, it's actually funny. Me and Keith just talked about this on our podcast. Within a play routine, you practice all the time because you want it to be routine, right? You go and do your pre-game day ritual and you have your ride into the stadium ritual and all these routines so that, you know, it feels like something you've done before, and it's, you don't have to rise to some occasion. You can kind of fall back to that training, fall back to what's normal. Man, going on a plane ride over to somewhere middle of Russia, middle of Australia, middle of somewhere, and just like hopping into a stadium that you've never been to before. KF would not like that one, but it is interesting. I don't know. Saw a tweet right before I got on here from McDermott out in Buffalo that says AJE has spent most of his time in Buffalo in the offseason. He's in the best shape he's seen him in right now, both aesthetically and what looks to be physically what he can do. And he is super ready to watch him in training camp. He had sort of a quiet season out in Buffalo last year. And then I saw a bunch of people like talking shit about how it was always his conditioning that kept him from playing full games at Iowa, like early on.
No, it wasn't.
I guess I never even really thought of anything into that. Like, why did he not play? Was it just because he was like,
he was inexperienced and didn't have a full understanding or like what we ask our defensive linemen to do is extremely regimented, and we need you to play the scheme. And
his pass rush was much further ahead than his run defense. Yeah,
exactly. He walked on the campus being able to rush the passer with just God-given talent. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, he's a freshman. He literally had gotten there 3 months earlier. There's no reason to expect him to understand all the run fits and where he's supposed to be in the run game. So, I mean, that's why we didn't play him as much in the early downs, early in his career, because we had guys that were very good with their fundamentals and doing that. And that's what Iowa is we just need 11 guys being all on the same page doing their job. And one guy's not doing their job, then we're in trouble, because we don't typically have the talent to make up for that. It took him a little bit to get there, as it always does to pretty much everyone. But yeah, he came to the campus, God-given ability to rush the passer. Just took him a little bit to develop the other part of the game.
If we can get four defensive linemen to just do their job this year, we might be watching an elite defense, like a all-time elite defense. There's potential. There's a lot of experience in that, and talent in that back tier of the defense. And then you have Jack Campbell and Seth Benson, who are really, really solid. So every time my brother comes home, he has a new Jack Campbell story of how he's just an absolute freak. So
pretty jealous of that kid.
Well, I mean, 6'5", 240, and he's probably ripped. I mean, he's probably ripped at that weight. And he can run like a deer. My brother said they did like the kettlebell to sandbag to prowler GPP. And Jack walked out of it like, okay, is this the warm up or what are we doing? It always used to piss me off so much when Josie, or more so early on in the career, because I only like to compare like guys in our class. Josie and other guys would just murder the prowler, and it would just look so light. Drake, you too. I mean, honestly, both of you guys. And I'd get behind it, and it's like, somebody put extra weight on this when I wasn't looking, because I can't push it that fast. If you guys were to come into George Kittle's contract money right now, what's the first thing you would do?
How much did I have to pay on taxes?
I mean,
well, 45% of it.
Yeah. So did I get all of it up front otherwise?
Yes, you pay taxes, but you get all of it up front.
You have $40 million to spend.
Yeah, what would you do? Would you build a barn and put a gym in it?
No, that's not for my personal taste. I definitely put a nice gym in the garage of the house that I just bought, on the land that I just bought. Yeah. And yeah, I would try and buy me an island and tell everybody else to piss off.
You just never talk to anybody again, huh?
Yeah, I would try and talk to as few people as possible.
Build a jits room to train in and just screw it.
Yep, and I'd have my jits friends and I'd have my life friends, and then everybody else can piss off, mate.
How was your double jit session today?
There's a reason that I didn't wake up when my alarm or maybe did not go off. I was tired.
The guy was sleepy. How much do you you told us today, I'm not going to get super into it, but that you wake up with some digestive issues sometimes. How many hours of sleep do you get at night?
Not enough. I sleep terrible at night.
Wow. But when you take naps after the old training sesh, those hit?
They feel pretty good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. How much sleep did you guys get when we were at Iowa? Did you guys get 8?
Usually, yeah, 7-8.
I think it was.
I took a lot of naps at Iowa.
That's true. If you add up the sleep during the day, it probably averaged out to
a lot of nap time too.
Over 8. I was just thinking about summertime when Kevin and I, we'd work out, get that morning workout in, and then there was one summer, there was unlimited episodes of Game of Thrones to come back to.
Best summer ever.
God damn. And, it was hot outside. You know, you roll back into the shut the garage door, just make it dark in the house, get your snack, your post recovery meal.
And you got that AC cranked up.
Cranked.
And then me and Kluv are just there recovering for the next 10 hours. And Game of Thrones happened to be on.
Yeah, we were recovering. Yeah. Those were money ball. Do you guys have sleep routines now that you've implemented more thought into than you did when we were at Iowa? I felt like we were so tired from training, practice, kind of the schedule, that I didn't even need a sleep routine or good sleep hygiene, as some would call it. Like, put your phone down at this time, start to wind down, super dark room, make it super cold. I could basically take any condition and just go 8+ hours lights out wherever.
Yeah. No, I don't. I try to be up at the same time every day and go to sleep at the same time every day, or I don't do any of that other stuff, but you absolutely should.
Yeah, no, I was curious just because we all three still, well, I don't know. Have you been training lately, Kevin? Do you still work out?
I do still work out.
Okay. I didn't know. I know at one point you were posting videos of you fainting, doing 2K deadlifts and all that stuff.
Yep. I'm not going to post anything again until I can actually hit that weight. Until then.
Wow. Okay. And so I know that, like, realistically, three of us still have some pretty, I would say, lofty goals relative to most guys our age who are just trying to like go in and get three days a week of like arms and back in. So I mean, especially as we get older. Oh, there it is. We're getting older. 26. It's a little, you know,
27's coming real soon.
Soon, man. Soon. For all three of us, we get hit bang, bang, bang in that last quarter of the year.
We're on the wrong side of 25, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And at 20,
on the wrong side of the hill. Fuck you talking about 20 Bronx out of 25.
You're coming. Head. You're coming down, Drake. You're rolling.
Come on, look at me.
I don't know. I think you got 50 in you.
You do?
Yeah, I think so.
We're charging.
Yeah, no, I think at one point I would have maybe argued that maybe you didn't have 50 in you, but yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what that camera that says after the smart guy sticks it up my ass.
I guess that could be Drake's having a little, he's going to have a meeting with the doctor tomorrow.
I'm going to have a procedure.
Yeah. And hey, maybe that was
awesome with the inside of you.
And some smart guy is going to put his glasses on and look at what my asshole tells him.
And hopefully it's good, man. Hopefully it's good. Yeah. I've been trying to, I mean, I've basically looked into research wise, I mean, this becomes more and more important for adults in general. I don't think people sleep damn near enough. I mean,
general managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Most people try and work themselves into the ground for the because, you know, that's their boss is telling them that they've got their deadlines and they have to slave for the man, which is extremely unfortunate. Like, people who don't get to choose their own schedules and they got to come home to work or come home from work and they have kids and you can't neglect your kids until your kids are ready to, you know, call it a day. Like,
until they're ready to be neglected.
Like, listen, for real, until they're ready to be neglected for their own sleep. But like, dude, I still live life like an absolute kid. Like, if I had all of those responsibilities of deadlines and bosses and shit, I probably wouldn't sleep well either.
Yeah, I mean,
you fuck all those people out there with jobs, right? What losers?
Well, no, not everybody with jobs. I just mean people with like terrible bosses, and like, you know, the people I'm referring to, like people about, who can't leave their work at home because their work has them like ultra stressed, or the people they're around and stuff like that. I was just making reference to like a certain group of people who have horrible bosses. And
you're
shit.
Right. You're right, Drake. I mean, it's not. I don't think everybody's like that. I mean, there's definitely some people that are just out there working 9 to 5s who are like, you know, they come home and they're like, work wasn't that hard. Like, I don't have a hard job, and they see their family at night and they don't hate their life. But I have a couple clients who their weight and what we're trying to do with them as far as losing weight and kind of working out and getting healthy, their stress levels and their sleep, their amount of sleep and their just the way that their days kind of are set up, it is seriously impacting their ability to be healthy at all. It's bad. It's bad for some people out there. I don't know. I'm really nerdy about sleep right now. I'm trying to find like if I got Kittle's money, I would have all the sleep supplements. I'd probably I would 100% immediately invest into a chili pad for the mattress. Have you guys seen those?
No, I didn't know that was a deal.
They're mattress pads that are like thin. I think they're like a grand or maybe even more, but you just lay it over the top of your mattress and it circulates cool water through the mattress pad. And so you can essentially pick your temperature that you want to sleep on. Mm-hmm. And so not only can you have the room down to 60 degrees, like N320 circa 2013 in Hillcrest, but you can also have the mattress pad that you're laying on be like 55, 60 degrees and just be nice and frosty.
I think that might be a little too cold, but yeah.
I don't know what.
Imagine is there anything in the world better than a freezing cold room and a warm blanket?
No, there isn't. Unless you add like one of Drake's toasted PB&Js into the equation.
I was going to say, if you bring me a couple snacks, maybe a hot chocolate, maybe you let me get into a couple vitamins beforehand.
It could get real cozy, some would say.
I'm kind of big on the sleep supplements, Kluve. I'm a huge CBD melatonin before bed guy.
Yeah.
And if I can add Tylenol PM or some NyQuil or something in there, I might dabble.
He's getting
like all the sleep supplements.
He's one step from MJ, basically. Just give him the anesthesia.
if I get pretty sick on anesthesia, which is unfortunate.
Do you really?
People Yeah, most people very much enjoy their time coming out of anesthesia, minus Spet, in a whirlwind of puking and spinning. Wow. So
that's trash.
Yeah. Unfortunately, anesthesia, not for me, but if anybody's got some sleep supplements they want to ship to a guy, I'll eat them and do all the R&D you're looking for.
My wife and I, we do CBD / melatonin capsule. It's like a, it's from the company Beam, and it's called Dream. They're called Dream capsules. They seem to really kind of level her out because her sleep was pretty bad for a while there, and she's gotten a lot more consistent. And when I know that I've been running around, or you know, kind of that nighttime routine is off, and I know that it's going to take me a while to kind of fall into sleep, I'll take one too, and it usually does the trick. I like melatonin. It does give me some dreams at higher doses, and I know that your body can kind of become a little dependent on it too after a while. So I try to stay away from it. But
see, the dreams are incredible though, dude. I oftentimes wake up and think like, dude, not only is my dream world cooler than my real world, but like it's by so many levels that I just want to go back to sleep.
Yeah. I've been there a couple times where you wake up, and I mean, thinking back to college, there's plenty of times where I woke up and I was like, huh, yeah, I wouldn't mind just not being conscious for a little longer. Oh man.
Have you read the book, Why We Sleep Yet, Clove?
No, I haven't. By who?
I forget a guy's name. Why We Sleep.
Check it.
It was one of Dora's favorites.
Was it by Matthew Walker?
I honestly couldn't tell you the author.
Yep, it is Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. I know Matthew Walker. I've heard I've heard Rogan. I've heard tons of people talk about. Yeah, I absolutely need to read that because it's been recommended like 3 or 4 times now.
So like after we left and the next class, like the strength staff and Doyle got like obsessed with sleep. And that was like the book that, you know, he said like this thing like blew my mind.
Well, I heard I've listened to a lot of podcasts on it since I've gotten nerdy into it. And I heard an incredible quote by somebody that was like, if sleep was a drug, if sleep was a substance, it would be illegal. That's how beneficial it is. And the kind of results that we get from good sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I would recommend anyone out there who feels like shit on a day-to-day basis to just get more sleep. And I know that back to the whole schedule thing, it's not just like you're at liberty to do that. You got kids, they wake you up in the middle of the night. Your schedule's crazy. You only have literally 6 hours in the day to sleep. Man, try and get upwards of 7 or 8 hours on a consistent basis for 3, 4, 8, 12 weeks in a row. Check out how your life changes. Cause that is, I'm like Drake. I live like a kid. Just if my wife didn't wake up to go to work, my work day would be like, I mean, it would still be like 7:30 to 2, but I go to bed at 8:30 also. So it'd be like, I'd be in bed for like 11 hours.
Yeah. When I've had like a low energy day, like I can tell like I was dragging, I try to make it a point to be like physically in bed at 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren and I are in bed every night at 8:30. We're usually asleep by 9:15. We're pretty good about it.
You're getting like 9 hours a night then, huh?
Yeah, I'm I fall asleep and then wake up in that 9 hour span. I use a Whoop, which has been really, it's pretty goddamn accurate when it comes to tracking sleep. And you generally, if I sleep for 9 hours, say I fall asleep dead on 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock and I sleep till 6, usually I have about 45 minutes to an hour where it detects that I'm actually awake, rolling around, restless. But yeah, 8+ hours of actually being asleep. And That's the other thing. For most people who, you know, you lay down and you think you slept 6 hours, there's probably about 10%, maybe 15% of that time is spent up restless and you don't even realize it in the middle of the
night. Now tell them how much time is spent restless when alcohol's brought into the equation. Oh, and how many disturbances that causes in your sleep.
It's like 5 or 10x, I think.
Yeah. So like I saw this too. It's like you go to sleep faster and you're in deep sleep quicker, but after like an hour or so, then you're getting like absolute shit sleep.
Dog shit sleep. Yeah. Not only that, but if we want to go down the old alcohol route and just start pissing Hawkeye fans off all around the country, alcohol is a poison. Technically, it
is a literal poison that you are copiously putting into your body and wrecking your insides so that they can no longer perform the functions to cheering. The quality that they want to perform.
Kevin's fist pumping to it. I understand you're sitting here like, oh, these guys, fuck this episode. I'm turning it off. They're trying to tell me to sleep more and drink less.
Dude, they said fuck this episode as soon as your intro was one of the most garbage of all time, but I left you hanging because I was laying in bed comatose when I was supposed to be recording the intro. So
you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I was catching up on my relaxation.
Well, sleep far and away when we were working out was the thing that made me feel most recovered. You can eat a good meal right after you work out. You can replenish, you can go do cold tub, hot tub. At Iowa, we had a ton of resources available to us. And to be honest, the resources we did have, there's 3x more resources that you can try or implement in your daily life. And the number one thing that made me feel good and ready to come back the next day and hit it hard was a good night of sleep. And I try to do other recovery tactics now. I stretch, I foam roll, I hang upside down on an inversion table, I get 8 hours of sleep, I do all this stuff. I don't know how you guys recover. How do you recover from jits, Drake? Just sleep and vitamins?
To be honest, man, when you start to get better at jiu-jitsu, you start to work less hard. So like today, after 2 practices, my body feels way better than it used to after 1. Because when you can learn to detach from your strength and use the flow of the actual mechanics that you're being taught, it is much less hard on your body than it is when you're just like super tense trying to muscle screw everybody. If I PG this up a little bit, they used to tell me I used to muscle fuck everything, and I needed to quit trying to muscle fuck everybody, and they're right.
I feel bad for those people. I think everyone listening would be absolutely blown away at how they look, feel, and perform in exercise or your job or your relationships across the board. If you took 3 months, you just went 90 days and you got 8+ hours of sleep every night and you didn't drink alcohol, I think the vast majority of people would be like, holy shit, did I find the magic pill? And yes, you did. It's good sleep and a very strong base of having good nutritional habits, which is staying away from a lot of alcohol. other than that, just take some steroids help too. If you take steroids, those are some side effects, but
that's honestly what I would do if I had all that George money. I would get a lifetime testosterone replacement therapy. I would get a ton of stem cell therapy to try and make all my aches and pains go away. I would probably spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on vitamin supplements and the best drinking water. Cause from what I understand after reading some stuff on water and I think I watched a documentary about how the water we drink, a lot of the filtered water we drink, is not actually properly absorbing into our body. And there's a lot more better ways to hydrate than the water we're drinking. I don't know. Probably try and figure those things out.
Yeah. Water's a whole other frontier. I would, I'm with you. I would get a sauna and a cold tub immediately. Yeah. That would Kevin's over there like, oh, fuck.
Dude. So I still work out in the mornings, early a.m.
Yeah.
And I miss it every day, not being able to hot tub for 10 minutes before the lift.
Yeah. No, it's a game
because game. You're walking into the lift already warmed up. And it's like, now I'm walking in and I feel like a damn pretzel and I have to spend 20 minutes just getting loose, ready to work out, you know?
Unpretzeling, yeah. I guess we should talk about that. I mean, well, let's save that for a second. They actually filled Sam Brinks's role today with a new guy. Guy named Jason Manson played for the Hawks back.
Wait, you're telling me that Sand got, he got fired?
I don't think he got axed. I think it was temporary the whole time.
Yeah. So he was, temporarily promoted when Brad got promoted, and they couldn't give him the job officially because the university was on a hiring freeze because of COVID and everything. And he already knew he was not going to be eligible for the job.
Well, immediately, we should have him on the pod.
I think they're keeping him in the building, though.
He'll probably say, oh, I'm not going to come on then.
Ready to burn the villages if Sand Brinks got the axe, because that's a great, great quality human being.
It's a quality. Yeah. I got to hang out with him a little bit at Jake's bachelor party, and he's a great, great guy to hang around.
Speaking of Jake's party, he was that's like 40 days away is his wedding, huh?
Yeah, July 3rd, which I got a little issue with that, but.
Dude, it is the most Jake Gervais shit of all time.
Yep.
To put his wedding right before the 4th of July and just be like, guess what, cocksuckers? I'm more important than America.
Yeah.
And he already got married. He's already married.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable scumbag move by Gervais. I mean, it's believable. Gervais the scumbag.
You guys going?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go. At least right now I'm planning on it. If I find out that a bunch of people aren't going, then maybe I'm not going.
I mean, I'll be there.
Okay. Josie will be there. He's in it.
Josie's in it. Ben's in it.
At least I'll have you three. You know?
If Gervais would have decided to get married on the West Coast, I'd have found my way. I'd have wiggled.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yeah.
Parker and Sam will be there.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
I mean, there'll be a bunch of football guys there.
Yeah. So they filled Sand's spot with a guy named Jason Manson. He was Drew Tate's backup in 03 to 06. He got in 05 and 06, threw a total of like 80 passes, 50% completion. A bunch of people tweeted and retweeted and was like, hey, congrats, Jason. And like everyone was saying he's an absolutely great dude. So
what's he been doing?
I have no, I think he's been in coaching and, athletic administration in some high schools and some colleges between then. I think I briefly glanced over his resume. So
cool. If
they hired him, he's probably a really good dude. Cause you gotta be to be in that position.
Yeah.
How good does that look on Sam's resume?
Oh, it looks fantastic. I don't know what he's trying to do with his life, but it's hard to get a better check on the resume than that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're Kevin and you're Stryker CEO. I mean, that's not everybody can be Kevin Ward. We get it.
That honestly sounded a lot like White Goodman right there. And it really fits when it comes to Kevin. Kevin and White Goodman.
I have no idea.
Dodgeball?
You don't know.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. Yeah. So, all right. Well, J-Bo got punched in the face.
Listen, man, I was waiting for us to get to this topic, and I'm about to become the most unliked person in Iowa City because one, he's not the victim. You are unable to play victim if you are the provocateur. And he provoked everything that possibly could transpire when you are talking shit, and especially when you're talking shit and putting your phone in someone's face. You have now removed your ability to play victim because that is a very clear provocation of action. Secondly, he knew the guy was there. The guy patted him on the shoulder. He said, "Hey, bud, you really should probably stop this." Came to the side of him. He probably said, "Hey, bud, I'm gonna give you one more chance. Let you know you need to stop this." And then you see, I mean, the film doesn't lie. When the eye in the sky don't lie, huh? Right? And I may have studied the film 5, 6, 7 times, okay? And listen, Mike Tyson told us this a while back. He said social media has made people too comfortable thinking they won't get punched in the face. And that was what we saw there. You just simply don't get, if you're talking shit, talk shit with your hands up, not your phone up. And that should be a good life lesson for everybody, because if you're going to run your mouth, if you're going to blow the smoke, you better be able to throw the smoke.
Kevin, what do you got here? I've got a lot of thoughts, and I'm already doing damage control on social media for Drake here.
I mean, Drake's not unplug your
mic. Mike.
He's not like you shove up your phone in somebody's face. And you expect not to get,
especially in that environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's drunk outside of the bars. Yeah. Like, dude. And I don't feel bad for him. No, I can't.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to add this point right here.
Oh boy.
You are going to be a 6th year senior, supposed team captain, and face of a program now that Luka's gone, right? You're the oldest dude in the whole building, the oldest a dude could possibly be in the building. You've had 5 years to be taught exactly how and how not to act in public, especially when cameras are ever present. And I mean, a 6th year senior decides to go out and act like one of the most insufferable human beings of all time, and he gets punched in the face. I don't see where we're supposed to give pity.
Okay. So
there's a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot there. There's a lot there.
Yeah, great. But in a vacuum, say this, a video of anyone running their mouth and shoving a phone in somebody's face and they get punched, you don't think twice about it. The only reason that this might be different is because he's a quote unquote public figure. And this is going to look really bad for him.
I mean, it's all over. ESPN retweeted like the articles that were saying like Jordan Bohannon attacked downtown from someone he didn't see coming.
What we need to do is just send ESPN the film and be like, "Hey guys, double check what you have to say."
So, okay. And that's what I wanted to get to is, yes, this looked, I don't know if people have seen the video. If you've seen the video, and again, not great video, but first off, if someone's taking a video, they are expecting something to happen. Something's clearly brewing, which means that someone's starting something, right? And in the video, and I could be wrong, it does kind of look like Jordan is in somebody's face and then is given ample time to kind of get out of their face and put his phone away.
There was even multiple people who tried to de-escalate the situation the shit talking and phone waving was commencing.
And then, you know, for all the articles saying that he was attacked from someone he didn't see coming. Ooh, I don't know about that one. The guy was basically standing on his shoulder. I mean, he knew he was there. and I don't know what he said to him, but it was probably along lines of, "Dude, back the fuck up. Stop it or whatever. You're going to get."
And then you can see a very clear moment where something was said in retaliation from the quote unquote victim's side. And it was a very clear call to action because that right hand followed very soon after.
I don't think that any of us are saying that Jordan or anybody just deserves to get punched in the face. Drake would probably argue that. I'm actually not going to speak for Drake here because I know that he does believe that some people deserve to get punched in the face.
But I mean, what Drake said, what the Tyson quote is 100% true.
So are you guys insinuating that because Jordan's got a little power, he's sixth year guy, he's got a
what I'm insinuating is that if I saw one of my teammates while I was on campus acting in that manner on video,
I would
say, wow, they need knocked the fuck out.
No.
And now I see
you guys doing that where like you're shoving your phone in somebody's face and talking shit. I'm like, I'm grabbing you. It's like, dude, we're going.
Yeah, you're right. You're really convincing me here. I wanted to, because a lot of people were upset that some opinions like the ones that we have just talked about for the last 10 minutes were starting to kind of like, oh, well, kind of looked like you deserve it. Like people were mad that people were okay with him getting hit. And man,
that's life, dude. Do they not know what's happened over the last 3 million years of existence on this planet?
It just
people have fought and fought a lot. And now fighting is actually popularized. Now people are being trained to fight and people are being trained to shoot three-pointers. And the ones that are being trained to shoot three-pointers should probably shy away from the realm of the throw in the smoke because, you know, when you're on the Tyler Kluver fitness 28-day plan, you probably should not be worrying about throwing right hooks.
Okay, three things. You're correct. Jordan and not, you know, Nate Diaz looks horrible too, but he can fight. Jordan doesn't look like the kind of guy that you're going to be worried about in a fight, you know? Two, you're right, Kevin. Now that I put myself in this situation, if I see you or Drake in an escalating situation like that downtown as a University of Iowa athlete and you're doing what Jordan was doing, I'm immediately taking the side of whoever he's doing it to and trying to get you the fuck out of there because clearly you are on some shit.
How many times do they say like, you know, like you're an athlete, you got a target on your back. So like and that was no, want to take shots at you too. Yep. Like they tell you this stuff.
That was number three was the first thing we're told when we were on campus was, hey, you're an Iowa football player now. People are going to try and step to you downtown to assert their manliness in front of the rest of the student body. Don't fucking interact with them. Don't give them any sort of, just don't even play into it because they're going to try and get you to bite on it. And
right. And they tell us that to the big dudes, the big 6'6", 300 pound dudes.
Right.
Not exactly the point guard that's built like Slender Man.
I have nothing against Jordan. Me either.
I don't know the guy, and I've cheered for him many times.
I've never talked to him, but this is just analyzing this video.
It's in a bad show. It's a bad look.
Of course it's a bad look. And like Drake said, it's a 6-year senior. Like you should be smarter than to even put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Like I get chills just thinking about the idea of me as a 26-year-old person walking up to somebody and bouncing my phone in their face while shitting on them. Like that gives me chills thinking about how cringy that is. And that's literally what was happening. I just can't imagine acting like that.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to punch you in the face, if I want to fight, if I'm going to talk shit, I'm not going to do it with my phone out. Simple.
Yeah. I mean, for those,
here we go. Come back to the alcohol thing.
Yeah. I mean, coming back to the alcohol really doesn't do any good for you, man. It's just that decision making process gets real blurry. And
it helps having a good time every now and then, though.
It does. It does. Fine.
Everything in moderation, my father always told me.
Correct. Except for Goober. God damn it. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Some of you listeners may be surprised by those thoughts, but and we're not saying that anyone deserves to get punched in the face, that is the correct response to said behavior, but you shouldn't be surprised when it happens, when that behavior was going on for such an amount of time. And again, who knows if what the real story was, what was actually said, it's hard to really tell. There's an investigation going on right now. Optics are bad. Optics are bad. That is about 45 minutes plus, and a good place to leave it probably. We didn't talk about
it. Are we going to get canceled again?
I don't think so, man.
I don't think we said anything crazy. No.
To be honest, it just depends on how soft everybody is. Because if everybody can only see it from an emotional mom standpoint, and they're like, oh, my baby, they hurt my baby, he could never do anything wrong, then, I mean, they're going to not like us. But if you can see things through a clear lens and where you can evaluate that anybody and everybody can make very clear mistakes and pay for the mistakes that they've made, I mean, that's kind of the situation we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see either you guys doing that exact same thing out in public and you catch one in the chin, I'm like, well, kind of deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's no bullshit about it.
I don't care who it is.
The emotion is and that's one thing that we probably do better than most is drop the emotion and just see things logically. Hey, if someone was waving a phone in my face, I don't even like to fight, but I would probably get a little pushy shovey and say, you need to back up. All right. I mean, I remember I've told the story, that guy I think his name was Chuck or something in Hillcrest. I mean, he was beating his fists into the mirror one night, bloody, running up and down the halls.
Bleeding all over the hallways.
Bleeding all over the place, trying to fight anybody.
I don't remember this story.
You weren't there, Kev. Just up and down the hallway, trying to fight anybody or anything that would step in his way. And Drake, of course, being the kind of guy that Drake is, jokingly steps out and goes, I'll take you on or something like that.
No, I told him to shut his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I just stepped out in the hallway and told him to shut up, and he ran by me and shoulder checked me. And then it was on like Donkey Kong.
Right. And at that point, I was like, okay, we're going to have to de-escalate. Tyler Kluver, Mr. De-escalator, coming into the situation.
And it's a real good thing Boone Myers was there, because I was charging down that hallway picking up a head of steam, right, and that big old bastard snatched me up and he didn't let me go anywhere. It was a good thing for him because I was headed down that hallway with bad intentions.
I mean, yeah, you were catching a murder charge that night because that kid didn't have a chance against the girls down the hall. So it is what it is. Sounds like
that's an 18-year-old angry Drake Kulik right there.
Yeah. Oh, that was a different animal back then.
That is purely testosterone and no frontal cortex activity at all
dead. Sounds like Jordan needed a teammate there to step up and just pull him away, but it didn't happen.
Another lesson: don't ever be downtown alone.
Yeah. It didn't happen. He got fucking socked and set on his ass. He got stitches. Hey, you live and you learn. Chances J-Bo puts his phone in somebody else's face and starts talking shit again, they're probably lower now. So, hey.
I would stay off Twitter for a while, too, if I were him. Maybe forever.
He's going to get fucked on Twitter. And that's
– And I would – to be honest, I think I would probably shut the podcast down as well. I think that
it's
this
funny
point,
you say that. They said they were doing some rebranding and they were going to be taking a break. Like the same day that it happened or something like that. So
here's the thing is that aside from this single instance, he has been a player who has drawn quite a bit amount of attention and polarized attention at that. And I would say that from a purely teammate standpoint, from somebody who just needs to not think about themselves for a bit, he should probably put it on hold until he's done being a Hawk, because there's a locker room full of guys who don't really deserve the media circus.
Yeah. I mean, it's a valid opinion. I mean, that's definitely one way to look at it. And I don't think you're wrong or right or anything. It's,
yeah, I don't know. You can't help but see parallels, and you know how he loves calling out the trolls and stuff on Twitter, which I think is just a bad look. But and then messing with some random dude out downtown Iowa City,
kind of calling out a troll in real life, and then
There's just never anything good that's going to come from it either way. So
the punch hurts a little bit more than a Twitter response. I don't know, man.
Just keep your head down. Go to work, man. It's
hey, 60-year man. He's getting bored. He's got to find some shit to do.
And if you're going to learn, if you're going to talk shit, learn how to throw a jab, jab, two left hook, dude. Double jab, cross, left hook. And you can then talk some shit because you're good, man. As long as you get that first jab off, the first jab really stuns them. The second jab hurts them. The right hand sends them on their way. And that left hook is just for the cherry on top.
Stop the fight. Stop the fight. Stop the podcast. That's 218. Hate us or don't hate us. They hate us because they ain't us. That's from a movie. And we're getting the fuck out of here. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.